All Jews must die. Repeat, all Jews must die. Those were the words of the murderer of the Jews, Robert Bowers, as he burst into a religious service and opened fire on unsuspecting Jewish worshippers in the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh. All Jews must die. Not some, all. No reason, no explanation, no rationality. Die they must, simply because they are Jews. Wow, unbelievable. This irrational, insane hatred, this oldest of the hatreds, is one of humanity's worst. Jews are killed the world over simply because they are Jews. And that has been the case throughout history. Small wonder that millions have sought refuge in the Jewish state Israel and in America because of the religious protections embedded in the Constitution of the United States. Unfortunately, those protections were not available to the Jews who worshiped in the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh that faithful Sabbath day. Why weren't they? Our great country has seen an increase in anti-Semitic acts in recent years. That according to the Anti-Defamation League, the ADL. In fact, in 2017, violence against Jews increased some 57% over those attacks and acts in 2016. 57%. It is, for me, I hope for you, especially troubling in America that so much anti-Semitism now occurs on college and university campuses. Why is that? Synagogues are burned or otherwise desecrated. In other nations, armed guards are required when Jewish services occur. Jews flee the new anti-Semitism daily from nations like France and England. But why? Why this old and irrational hatred? Why? This irrational hatred has no rational answer. Some think the roots of this new anti-Semitism come from the rabid anti-Semite Adolf Hitler, who told the world and convinced his own German nation that it was the duty of the supreme Aryan race to eradicate the Jews, to implement the final solution, and slaughter every Jew everywhere. Perhaps that old Nazi hatred was reincarnated, especially in fanatics like Robert Bowers. But the old hatred resonates with French fanatics as well, where Jews are murdered in synagogues and supermarkets and schools and even their homes. In France, the new anti-Semitism may well stem from France's growing Muslim population and their ever-present hatred of the Jews. That will never, ever go away. No matter the country or the citizenry, the old hatred, the oldest of the human hatreds, is alive and well, and now it's growing. Interestingly, the killer Robert Bowers is being cast as a neo-Nazi threat by the newspaper The Pittsburgh Courant. Under the caption, "A Day of Broken Glass," a cartoon in that newspaper showed broken windows on the Tree of Life Synagogue, linking this attack to Germany's Kristallnacht slaughter of the Jews, November 9, 1938. And that night and that event signaled the open season on Jews in Europe by the Nazis and Adolf Hitler. Perhaps it was indeed symbolic, but it was oh so real to those 11 Jews so brutally murdered by Robert Bowers. Interestingly, apparently Robert Bowers had hatred for both Jews and Muslims. He posted on a social network the following, "Open your eyes. It's the filthy, evil Jews bringing the filthy, evil Muslims into the country." What an irrational man that guy was. Perhaps Bowers had nothing but hatred for both Muslims and Jews. Others fan the flame of anti-Semitism. One such is Louis Farrakhan, who refers to all Jews as termites. And then there is the vicious movement BDS, which calls for the boycott, divestiture, and sanctions, economically and culturally, of all things Jewish, and especially any such emanating from Israel. Even, says writer Ruth Wiss, Jewish herself, even the Democratic Party has been infiltrated by a certain anti-Semitism, at least in subtle ways, her opinion. And so, she says, it has to stop. In April 2016, a Black Lives Matter supporter asked Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont, himself Jewish, about his Jewish identity and his, quote, affiliation to the Jewish community. And this reporter from Black Lives Matter prefaced the question with a statement that the Zionist Jews, they run the Federal Reserve, they run Wall Street, they run every political campaign. Wow. Sanders indicated that he was proud to be Jewish and that he supports Israel. But then he reverted to his usual politically correct form and stated that we have got to pay attention to the needs of the Palestinian people. Okay. Sort of a non sequitur, don't you think? In short, Sanders never attacked anti-Semitism head-on. Why not? Especially if you're Jewish. George Soros, oy vey, the radical progressive billionaire, is also Jewish. In fact, Soros funds Black Lives Matter with anti-Semitic tendencies, which matters not to Soros. Michael Bloomberg, soon to run for president in 2020, is also Jewish, and, of course, a multi-billionaire, and without serious comment or action with respect to this new revival of the old hatred. And Tom Steyer, the radical impeach Trump billionaire, he's also Jewish. Did you know that? But he's missing in action as this old hatred grows. The New York Times itself, Jewish-owned. Did you know that? The New York Times is owned by a Jewish family. It has never really attacked the problem of anti-Semitism. Why? Because, as writer Suzanne Fields has stated, the New York Times and its ownership do not want to seem, are you ready for this, too Jewy. Can you believe that? Well, whatever. But on the Republican side, President Trump condemned the Bowers atrocity and the slaughter of the 11 Jews, as any right-thinking person would. President Trump visited in person, and he attacked anti-Semitism. In fact, Donald Trump has encouraged his daughter, who has converted to Judaism, and the president is proud of the fact that his daughter and her husband are raising their children in the Jewish faith. Well done, Mr. President. Oh, well done. In our beloved America, the most stalwart supporters of Israel and the Jewish people are evangelical Christians and Orthodox Catholics. And indeed, they are real stalwart supporters, and that is as it should be. The Wall Street Journal, referring to this support factor and the reaction to the oldest hatred, suggests this motivation may occur because people of faith themselves know what it is like to be mocked and shunned in a popular culture that is increasingly secular, often aggressively so. Okay, perhaps. But I think there is a deeper spiritual reason. The Christ of glory, the rock, the foundation of Christianity, was himself a Jew, one Jesus of Nazareth. The Jews, as the Apostle Paul has well stated, are the spiritual forefathers of Christianity, and we the Christians honor them, or we should. In fact, we are told, we are admonished, and we are instructed in the book of Genesis that we are to bless Israel and the Jews in order to receive the blessings of God himself. Should we curse the Jews or turn against them? Should we become anti-Semites or encourage anti-Semitism? Then we in turn will incur the curse of God. That's heavy-duty stuff, isn't it? It is therefore both the duty and the privilege of the Christian to honor and respect the Jew and all things Jewish. So says the Scripture. You know, so interestingly, now comes Hanukkah. It is here. It is now. It began Sunday, December 2, and it ends Monday, December 10. This Festival of Lights, or Feast of Dedication, is observed for 8 nights and days. The holiday commemorates for Jews the rededication of the Second Temple in Jerusalem, and that was restored to the Jewish people by the Maccabean revolt against the Seleucid Empire. The festival is observed by lighting the candles of a candelabra, with 9 branches called the Hanukkah menorah. One branch is typically placed above or below the others, and its candle is used to light the other 8 candles. This special candle is called the shamash, and each night, one additional candle is lit by the shamash until all 8 candles are lit together on the final night of the holiday. They are 8 days of light and love for Jews. As Christians, how we should pray and work for their safety and for the protections and freedoms of our Constitution, which should apply equally to them, maybe even especially to them, as to any other citizen. And, as Scripture commands as well, we, evangelical Christians and Orthodox Catholics, should pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for all Jews and Christians, and in fact for all mankind in this world, to pray, seriously pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And, as Christians, we should both preach and practice the love of Christ, the light of the world, and in fact, He Himself, the Christ of glory, the final solution to the world's problems, the one in whom the peace in Him passes all understanding. So, my fellow Americans, my fellow Christians, at Hanukkah, at Christmas, at New Year, and all year long, let us practice the great commandment, love thy neighbor as thyself.